Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, for a few minutes. I promised Brother Eddie that we'd stop on time. And I don't want to get fired, so I have to obey. I've been preaching about obedience. I have to obey. Chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself. And I said earlier in the week that this is an unfortunate mistranslation. It should be himself, because he is a person. I don't want people calling me it. Do you? You know, here comes it. I'm saying that facetiously, but the point that needs to be made again and again is that himself, the Holy Spirit himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's a wonderful thing when you read the book of Jude, and also read in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse, where we're told to pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Holy Spirit help us in prayer. And to work deeply in our lives. Not all prayer is effective. There are some times when our prayers really don't go anywhere. David said in the 68th Psalm that if I allow iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we always need to be careful about that. Jesus said in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, if we pray to be seen and to be heard, that's the only reward we get. And James, in his little epistle, said if our desires are carnal, or if they are not in the will of God, then it's kind of a fruitless thing to pray. But the Holy Spirit comes to help us, is what Paul says in this 8th chapter. I'm sure that this is why he wants to fill us, so that he can be Lord over our prayer life. And that's so very important, to always be under the Lordship of Christ and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But he wants to pray through us and lead us and guide us for even things that we know nothing about. How wonderful it is from time to time to have these promptings and these directions that we get from the Holy Spirit to pray for someone. And there's no way to fully understand of how the Holy Spirit moves upon us, or why he would move upon us. Why not move upon someone else? Well, he'll move upon people who will listen and who will be sensitive. And if we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obedient when he does speak and when he does lead us to prayer. You know, you have to follow these promptings that the Holy Spirit gives. That's true in soul winning. You have to learn to recognize when the Lord is kind of moving you along in a direction to speak a word. Paul calls it a word in season. And sometimes you don't get to do much more than that. But those things are starters. And other people are included in it who maybe come from another direction towards that person. And the same is true of responding to maybe a very quiet call of the Spirit to pray for someone. When you think about someone coming to your mind, it's easy to kind of just put it off and say, well, that just happened. But maybe it was the Lord laying them upon your heart to do more than just think about them and think pleasant thoughts, but to pray for them and to check up on, you know, to say, Lord, are you drawing me? Do I need to stop or get alone for a few moments or just lift my heart and lift that person to the Lord in prayer? The Holy Spirit does give us those nudges and those gentle, what's the word for it? Help me. Leadings, guidings,
promptings
is a better word. Yes, those promptings of the Spirit to pray, you know. Missionaries live and continue to exist on the foreign field against principalities and powers that come against them so strongly by people who pray for them and undergird them with their prayers. And when the Holy Spirit brings so-and-so to your memory. And I always encourage people when they ever talk to me about their prayer life, I say, you know, do you have a prayer list? If you haven't a prayer list, then you need to start it and get it in your own family and go down the line from one to the other and then add people to it, friends, and then add people, others, and open your heart to the Lord. And you know, the way that's a great way to get started in prayer is to take it. You begin with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord and start praying for people. And it's beautiful how the Holy Spirit keeps that engine running in us as we think about more people to pray for. And that's the cooperation of the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. Because he draws us to prayer and teaches us to pray, and he burdens our hearts and gives us those promptings by his Spirit and speaks to us. When Brother Eddie mentioned to me to just be brief today, I was thinking about this praying in the Spirit, and I want to do that, to be brief. But let me just say a couple things about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is prayer that's directed by the Holy Spirit. You remember that sometimes the Holy Spirit guides us and gives us guidance from God's Word. I often think of Daniel and the life that he lived in that foreign country and foreign city. And he didn't have a lot of encouragement for spiritual things, but somehow he was able to keep himself going with his own prayer life. And he was resorting to the Word of God again and again. And it's always beautiful to see that he must have had some of these writings from Jeremiah, because at a certain point he must have read what we look at in Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, and discovered that under the prophecies of Jeremiah, the Lord had declared that there would be 70 years of captivity. And as he began to do a little bit of adding and thinking about all the years, he said, you know, I need to pray this through, because we are almost at the point of 70 years of captivity, and these people need to go back. And God laid it upon his heart. And it was with the acquaintance of God's Word, with the reading of God's Word, being led by God's Word, he was prompted to pray for the fulfillment of the prophecies in the book of Jeremiah, and Israel would go back. And, you know, there again, only heaven will reveal how powerfully this came to pass and how instrumental Daniel was in making it happen. All the things that we pray about in life, we won't know really how many of those things came to pass. Sometimes things will come to pass after we're gone, or we won't know about some of the things we've prayed for. Nehemiah was the same way. God was leading him, and his direction came through hearing a report of what was happening in Jerusalem. And the moment he heard about the walls being gone completely and how the city was being overrun, and he set himself to prayer, and the more he began to pray, the more he became convinced that God wanted him to do something. Because in prayer, once you get involved in praying and undergirding the work of God and the church of God in prayer, all of a sudden you find yourself involved in it. And the Lord just kind of draws you into something in prayer, and then you become involved in it. And here again, like Daniel, Nehemiah becomes involved in it. And whereas he was a happy, bright person in the presence of the king, when the king saw him one day looking sad, you know, he said to him, you know, what's going on with you? And he kind of just took that as a sign from the Lord that he needed to go open up and to share with the king. And, you know, the rebuilding of the walls all came to pass because of a person who cared, and he cared by prayer. And he prayed until it came to pass. God gives us these strong impressions that we need to pray. And maybe even today you've already thought about someone. As Brother Dan was standing and giving his testimony of how the Lord had led him, I was thinking, you know, how wonderful it is that God has led them. And when I thought about it, I thought, you know, I need to reinforce my times of prayer and pray for that church. You know, the Lord wouldn't have allowed me to know all about that church and all the great things that God has done in Silver Springs and in Washington, D.C., and raising up that church and reaching people. And, you know, if the Lord can reveal himself to pray to Daniel and to Nehemiah and to others in the scripture, then I need to include myself in that and say, Lord, I need to do that. Maybe the Lord will lay them especially upon your heart as you leave here. The Lord will say to you, make that a matter of prayer, because that is so important. Praying in the Spirit comes when the Lord directs us by His Spirit. Paul also teaches that praying in the Spirit can be in our language or in a heavenly language. Spiritual language, praying in other tongues. I can remember when I went to Bible school, my first night in Bible school, I listened to a young man praying in the basement of the men's dorm. It had like three wings to it in the front with offices in it. But in the basement of the one wing, there was this kind of a study room for if you wanted to study till late at night or if you wanted to go into the prayer room. And this brother used to go into that prayer room at 10 o'clock every night, and he'd lay on his face and he'd pray in the Spirit. And the first night that I was in Bible college, I was a very new Christian. I can remember lying in bed, and the windows were up just a little bit for fresh air, and I could hear the prayer in the Spirit as he prayed in other tongues. I don't believe that, and I knew him as long as he was alive for many, many years. He's been gone about 7 or 8 years as far as I know. But he prayed in the Spirit like no one I ever heard before. He labored in the Holy Ghost, in praying in the Spirit. And it just rolled out of his soul. And I can remember, because I was hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I can remember saying to myself when I was trying to go to sleep and listen at the same time, oh Lord, I wish I could pray like that. Prayer with the Holy Spirit leading us, burdening our hearts in prayer. And we can pray in our own language, but there are times when we transcend that and we pray in the Spirit. Let me just quickly, in closing, bring to you just three thoughts, and to remember that praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, is crucial in our day. It's crucial for three really important reasons. The first one is because of the nature of the conflict. The nature of our conflict is with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The conflict that we have when we pray at any time is a spiritual conflict. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're battling against principalities and powers who are always at work. And any time you make up your mind that you're going to pray or even give a little extended time to prayer, you'll find that you're in a battle, first of all, with Satan, who doesn't want you to begin, even to begin praying. He wants to keep you from praying. And all of us know the distractions that come with prayer and the sleepiness that comes and the wandering thoughts that come to us when we're praying. You have to just gird yourself up to withstand all the work of the enemy, but way beyond that is the spiritual conflict that takes place in the heavenlies when we begin to pray and we begin to seek the face of God. And there are answers and solutions that will never come unless we pray through and keep praying. People, you know, people with a natural understanding about prayer will look at praying in the Spirit and praying in other tongues as foolishness. But that's their problem. That's not our problem. That's their problem. We understand that tongues was God's own idea. No denomination thought it up. God poured out His Spirit at the turn of the century, and whatever movements and denominations and groups have come up over these years, it was God who put tongues upon the lips of the early church on the day of Pentecost, and it was His own idea, and out of His infinite wisdom, and there again in eternity we'll understand why God gives to us this heavenly language, which sometimes might be in a known language, but it will be in a heavenly language. And the scripture says that when we speak in tongues or pray in tongues, that we're speaking unto God and not unto man. And so it doesn't matter whether someone else understands it or whether someone can interpret it. The important thing is that we're speaking to the Lord. We're seeking God and we're praying. And we're praying with the enablement of the Holy Spirit to pray. God wasn't trying to prove some doctrine or introduce something that was so completely out of the ordinary. He's wanting to build the church. And He wants to build up each individual believer. And when we speak in other tongues and when we pray in other tongues, we are building up ourselves, and it builds our faith at the same time. It's just a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that takes place in us. And the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us to pray. And it's simply because, you know, the enemy never has a day in which he says, I think I'll let up, or I think I'll give up, or I can't do anything here. I think I'll just go somewhere else. He never gives up. He never quits. He's always working at us and trying to pull us down or drag us down. And you and I need all the building up that we can get. And if praying in other tongues builds us up, then I want to do it more, don't you? I want to be built up in my most holy faith. And praying not only builds us up, but of course it builds others up. And whether it's spiritual prayer or whether it's praise, that or high praise or spiritual searchings, when you think about the different words that the Holy Spirit uses talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, prayer and supplication, praying in the Spirit, persevering in prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, intensity and fervency, how marvelous and comforting it is to be able to enter into prayer. And when we somehow come to the end of our own understanding, the Lord helps us in prayer. So it's not just because of the nature of the conflict that we pray in the Spirit, but it's because sometimes we're limited in our knowledge. And I shouldn't say sometimes, so many times. We don't really know how to pray. Someone will say, pray for me, you know, and you know, they'll just maybe give us a little insight. And, you know, it's good to say, well, you know, how can I help you with prayer? You know, over the years, I've said many times, I've met very few people that ever said to me, no, don't pray for me. If you say to, maybe you've talked to them for a minute, or it's good to see you, and say, you know, I'll be praying for you, you know. And I think only one time in my life have I heard a man get mad and swear at me and, you know, say all manner of evil and told me to get out of the hospital room and let him alone. He didn't want prayer. And the sad part of it was that the man died maybe 2 hours later. Was on his deathbed, and someone had called me from California and said, would you go? He's going to swear at you. And I expected it, and I got it. But you know, anytime someone, you say to them, you know, to pray, they'll say, oh, yes, pray. And then how good it is to be able to say, well, you know, how can I help you with prayer? How can I pray? How would you like to have me pray? And people will tell you right away, they'll respond. Because people always want it. You know, I want all the prayers I can get, and you want all the prayers you can get, because we need all the help we can get. But the Lord comes to us, and when we don't know how to pray, then the Holy Spirit prays through us. And that's such a beautiful thing, to lend yourself, to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit so that He can pray through you and work in you. Well, let me just close with one further one. It's not only that the nature of the conflict is spiritual and that we need His help in praying, but you have to remember that we're living in end times. And praying in the Spirit is an end time necessity. The devil knows that he has but a short time. If he can keep the church from prayer, if he can keep you from praying for your friends and your loved ones, and if he can keep us from our times of united prayer. I thought how wonderful it was that when Dan said he was all alone there and he was walking and praying and quoting scripture and whatever else he did, how wonderfully he felt the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that is wonderful. There's nothing that can take the place of our time alone with the Lord, our devotions with the Lord. But boy, sometimes it's so much easier to praise the Lord when you get to Pilgrim Camp, isn't it? And isn't so much easier to pray when you get to Pilgrim Camp, when you're with others. The Lord ordained that we be inextricably linked to one another and to pray for one another and to love one another by praying with each other and to care for one another by praying for each other and praying for the church and for the work of God, praying for your pastor, praying for leadership in the church. How important it is that we pray for each other. And you know, I think it's so very, very important to pray for pastors, to pray for the leadership that they bring and the leadership in the church, that we must undergird them. Some of the greatest things in our lives happen when we pray for other people. I can remember saying many times that, you know, oh boy, I hope when I was pastoring, and it's a lot of years ago, but I was a young pastor, and I'd always, since I had an evangelist, and an evangelist came, and we were talking about the altar services and the times of waiting on the Lord and people seeking God for salvation and people seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this one evangelist used to say, yeah, he said, I love it when people come forward to receive. He said, you know, because every time I pray for someone else to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I get filled myself. I get refilled all over again. And that's the truth. It's the truth. You know, if you find when you're praying and you're dry as shucks and you doesn't want to come, kind of just look up while everybody's not, while they're praying, just look around and think, who can I go pray for and pray for him and start praying for him. If it doesn't happen on the first person, just keep praying. And before you know it, you'll feel the power of God working in your life too, because the Lord will work with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit did in that early church. And it says, and the Lord went with them. They went forth with signs and wonders and miracles following, with signs following. He confirmed all those things to them. Well, our time is gone this morning. But and you know, if the Lord leads you to stay and holds you for a little while to pray, to worship and to seek Him, it's so important to realize the value of praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and gives us utterance and knowledge as to how to pray, and then strengthens us, strengthens our desire to pray. One of the weaknesses that we have is that sometimes we're weak in desiring to get alone in prayer. But the Spirit helpeth our weakness, our infirmity, and even that. It's not always an infirmity that's physically. It's an infirmity of desire, a weakness. Infirmity means weakness. And if there isn't that intensity, then the Lord brings it to us. Precious Lord, we thank You that You quicken in us desires to pray. And You not only lead us and give opportunity for us and lift us to new levels of prayer, but You anoint us and work in us as we pray for others. Lord, You've said to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I pray this morning that You would lead us in these days that remain, and then all the days that are before us, that in our prayer lives we shall truly be prayer warriors in the Spirit. Let us, Lord, as You teach us so many things, may the Holy Spirit teach us to pray in a greater way, and may we become more effective. Hallelujah. We look to it. We just believe You for it this day. We pray that You'd richly bless this people. Lord, we've come from so many directions, from so many miles, and we're here together to seek You and to wait upon You and to open ourselves to a new working of Your Holy Spirit in us. Let it be, Lord, that our prayer life shall be strengthened in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. I praise You, I praise You, Jesus.